Hello, welcome to our new show, Secrets of the Universe, the bridge between science and spirituality. We're your co-host. I'm Thomas Kelso. And Catherine.
From people.
Coming live to you from the Sacred Embers Network. Our discussion tonight will be based on spirituality and science. So we also have a special guest later on in the show. And you want to introduce him a little bit before we begin?
Sure. So our guest speaker this evening is James Carr. He's a very well-known artist in Wilmington, Delaware, and he will be explaining solar angel guidance, channeling in his art, the Akashic realm, and also synchronicity.
Wow, it's pretty exciting.
It is exciting.
And you had mentioned he's also an artist too, right?
He is an artist, yes. So I'm interested to hear how spirituality plays, you know, the channeling as far as channeling the art. That's very interesting.
Oh, channeling the art too. Yeah, that's amazing.
So we're going to start off, right? Just the basics.
Yeah.
What is spirituality?
Yeah, the basics of our show. So, you know, in this day and time, what we're seeing is a lot of conspiracies, a lot of misconceptions, and just a lot of garbage floating out there, you know. So it's kind of hard to really identify. People seem kind of lost. So finding, you know, your spirit self and how does that relate, you know, in nature and science? There's a lot of interesting things out there. In the future, we'll have topics anywhere from Bigfoot to ETs because there is a correlation and everything is in relation. So it's going to be some exciting shows ahead, definitely. But so how have you been in this situation with this COVID?
So I've been hoping the best that I can.
Sure.
I've cleaned a lot of closets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've just I've done a lot of remodeling. But it's also given me a chance to actually dig to this topic that we're talking about tonight as far as, like, really what is spirituality? And you know, what is it that, you know, I'm doing? I'm more mindful. I became more mindful during this time, the downtime, of what is it that I'm doing to increase, you know, my awareness and my consciousness of, you know, trying to connect with, you know, my higher self, basically. And that comes in many forms for many different people. So did you want to go ahead and start what spirituality is?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, you know, how do we see spirituality in a kind of a worldview, which is, you know, in spirituality, it's a way of life. It's kind of based on belief, more to life than what meets the senses. You know, you can't always measure it. More to the universe than just, you know, just the mechanics of things. More to consciousness than just the electrical impulses in the brain, and more to our existence than what the body and its needs are, you know. So that's kind of where the balance is between science and spirituality. You know, I think that's what we're going to try to touch on a little bit here. You know, I think in spirituality, you know, there's really no rules to spirituality. You know, spirituality kind of lets you discover, whereas religion kind of just tells you the truth, you know.
Right.
As, you know, following an ideology. You know, both of us, you know, are Catholic by baptism, but, you know,
right,
both something that's very different than that. Not that you can't find spirituality, you know, in religion, but, you know, on
right,
Earth, there's like 2.2 billion Christians, 1.7 billion Muslims, 2 billion Hindus, 1.5 billion Darwinians or atheists. But on the other hand, organized religion is kind of in a decline. And what we see is kind of spirituality that is rising. There's even atheists that are practicing spirituality these days, you know. So,
sure. Well, you're right.
Religion
really is just an organized set of beliefs and practices, right?
Sure.
And really by a community, and they, you know, they observe and they're devoted to a certain faith. And, you know, for me, you know, and you, that is, you know, I'm going to just speak for myself here, Tom, but, you know, it's just taking what experiences we've had through life. So we have our belief system, the foundation that we were brought up in. And then as you, you know, you grow and you, you know, experience more things that are, you know, that you just haven't, doesn't make sense with what you were taught. You know, that was my
experience. It makes a lot of sense, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I was having experiences that just didn't match up with what I was taught. So what do you do, you know? And at one point, I actually went to my Catholic priest, and I said, look, these are my experiences. And he said, you know, look, you're either Catholic or you're not, which it's okay. But at that point, I thought, well, I guess I'm not, because I can't explain why these things have been happening and have happened. Mm-hmm. And it was paranormal. It was unexplained. You know, there were visions. There was all kinds of things that, you know, were beautiful, honestly, but things that I couldn't explain at the time. So I think that whatever resonates with people is good. You know, you could take, you know, I mean, I believe in, you know, reincarnation, and that's a Buddhist thing.
Sure, absolutely.
So I take that. So that's what I do. And I feel like that does all, you know, pretty much connect with the spirituality. But for spirituality for myself, I feel like, well, it's different for everyone. And for me, it's more individual. It's more personalized. It's basically like my own connection with the divine higher source. So it's having to do with, for me, again, because we're all different, it's having to do with a sense of peace during challenging times. Like you were asking about, like, what did you do during this, you know, COVID pandemic? So it's, you know, it's important that I pull from my spirituality during challenging times. And it also has to do with the divine purpose, right? So
yeah, absolutely.
It's just basically experiences, like I said before, and phenomenon, and connectivity with oneness, really, right? And awakening, mm-hmm. and enlightenment, and all that stuff. Yeah. And,
well, I'm with
and,
you.
And there are,
I agree.
Yeah. And I feel like there's many different spiritual practices as well that during that time I was doing. And, you know, I could take the whole show to go through, and I still can get through all the spiritual practices that people do, but, you know, I'll just share just a few that are very common to people. I think, you know, meditation is one, because that pretty much allows us just for higher sets of awareness, which is always great. Yoga, which is another spiritual discipline that it includes the breath work and body postures and you know, the mind-body connectivity. There's clearing, you know, the energy fields, our chakras, which are important to keep us, you know, energy is all around us, so especially negative energy that can come from anybody, anywhere, any place. And it's just keeping ourselves in alignment, again, with our higher self. You know, but exercising, and you and I have talked about this earlier, about getting out in nature, because that's total connectivity. And you had talked about trees, and you want to talk about that a little bit?
Oh, the trees, how they're a source of communication, how they communicate amongst each other. You know, they're spiritual. Yeah. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Right. So, you know, as everything in nature has a consciousness, has an awareness, trees, rocks. You know, there's an awareness there, and you know, that's the Native Americans. You know, they understood this process. But right, being out in nature and walking and just connecting with everything around you has a profound effect on our mental, physical health, for sure.
Yeah.
My sister-in-law, she's also mediumistic, and but she walks every day, and she definitely says the same thing. It's her process, definitely.
Right. And, you know, nature in itself is just, you know, open again to just, you know, everything great, right? You know, but we have talked about others being out in nature, as far as you can look at a tree and you can actually sometimes see a face, or you can see different shapes of, you know, different images of whatever it is that you see that is associated with that particular tree, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, you know, the tree having a consciousness is going to see everything around, you know, in its environment. You know, and often if you take a piece of paper, you can look it up and put a light behind it. You can see, you know, animals, things like that, that the tree has been in the tree's presence throughout its life. Yeah, for sure. You know, people, when they say, oh, I saw this or that, that doesn't mean they're crazy. Sometimes people say, well, you know, that's kind of odd. But, you know, if we look for things, and obviously, you know, there's a certain kind of, you know, you can't just look at every single thing and say, well, this is spirit or this is this. You know, use your intuition. But definitely, you know, when we're aware of what's around us, often, you know, we go through every single day with our head down and we're just completely very dense in energy. So when you're dense in energy, you can't feel what's going on around you. You know, you can't appreciate good energy, you know, or bad energy for that matter. You're just kind of in a cloud. So you're right. Getting out in nature is definitely going to help uplift that. And you're going to have a physical response, a mental response. Yeah, definitely.
Right. That's one thing that I feel definitely falls under spirituality and nature. It's just one, you know, and getting back to the practices too, just, you know, that's exercise, walking, right, in nature, but just exercise alone. And then, you know, positive affirmations, I feel like, are very important. Like, I am grateful. I am successful. I am happy to be on the show. You know,
right. Yeah, incorporating the laws of the universe. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yes. And then for me, power of prayer is very important.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, anything creative, I think, is so important. Like, just create, whether it's music or art or singing or dancing, just create. Mm-hmm. It could be anything. I think that definitely opens up a portal to just being at a higher frequency, right?
Right.
Where your business is just, it's more open. You're more open to feeling, seeing, hearing, you know, what many people, you know, can't, you know, it increases our intuition.
Right.
Yeah. And.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was going to say, you know, when you come from the perspective is that, you know, we're all multidimensional beings having this human experience, you know, these dense emotions and experiencing what it's like to have loss, you know, that's part of the process, you know? So that's something that's, you know, we're going to grow and we're going to learn from, you know, and sorry, I had a little visitor come in right now, my 3-year-old, but anyhow, so, you know, before I understood that process, you know, I, you know, just kind of going through life, you know, with not having these outlets, these spiritual outlets, you know, it was a big difference. You know, I would have to say that, you know, depression was greater, anxiety was greater, you know, and having these kind of spiritual outlets definitely it changes things. Because, you know, if you're operating at a higher frequency, lower energy can't come in. You know, it's just the way it is. And, you know, you're going to definitely feel better. As you mentioned, you know, the prayer and so forth and the affirmations. You know, it's kind of funny. I remember when that book, The Secrets of the Universe, came out. You know, they're just kind of marketing a principle that's given to every single human being. You know, The Secrets of the Universe, which, you know, the law of attraction. And, you know, these are things that we have access to that are free. You know, we don't need to purchase these things or pay someone or, you know.
Right. And, so basically, too, right, you're talking about cause and effect, too. So, like, so every word, every thought, every action, that's going to put us something into motion, right? So it's going to get us either closer to or farther away from what we actually want.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you know what it's like. For example, if you're not practicing these outlets, you start to feel a little bit different. You know, you don't maybe feel as grounded, you know, you don't feel as happy, you know, maybe you can't sleep as well. You know.
Right.
So
right, exactly. So, you know, I think it's journey, you know, some questions that put me on a spiritual journey too was, again, just having experiences that I couldn't explain that ongoing. But also, like, you know, soul type of questions, right? Like, who am I? Like, you know, what is my life purpose? What was the meaning of life? Like, you know, those kind of questions. What do I want? You know, what do I want? You know, and
sure.
And so, and once you figure, you know, that's a good one to start. Like, what do I want? You know, and you go mm-hmm. from there. But it's not an easy process. I mean, it's truly a journey. You know, you don't
sure.
wake up one day and go, here I am. You know, I'm
it requires effort.
Spend it.
Right.
It's an ongoing every day mindfulness.
Yeah.
It's mindfulness every single day. And
mm-hmm.
I think gratefulness is really a great piece, starting your day.
Mm-hmm.
Being, you know, put in place, start your day
mm-hmm.
on the right foot. Because
yeah.
Exactly. And so by starting off, I feel to bring our balance, get off that.
You kind of go in and out a little bit there.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Yeah, it's kind of going in and out a little bit.
Uh-oh.
There we go. That's better.
Okay. Well, anyway, it was just basically, it's a journey. And
yeah.
It's not an easy, you know, always easy. But starting your day off
mm-hmm.
By being grateful is important. Mm-hmm. And just putting spiritual practices in motion to start your day is basically
yeah
synopsis of
yeah.
what I just said. You know,
yeah.
because when things get off balance, it helps us to get back into balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree too. You know, I was, you know, growing up or being Catholic, again, you know, there's spirituality there. But for me, you know, I kind of always knew that there was something else that I felt that maybe was around us. I had some pretty unique experiences. And, you know, once I started learning to meditate and going through that process and, you know, things started to make sense. I started to get answers. And, you know, it just changed my way of thinking, my way of being, you know. Because, you know, in spirituality, you know, there's really no rules, you know, whereas, again, I'm not bashing religion by any means because people find their spirituality often in religion. It just depends on what is right for you. But
right.
I just wasn't in tune with what, you know, was being taught to me, you know, that's all.
Right, exactly. And you can still pull from the part of the religion that works for you,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, is my foundation, but if I'm going to say, you know, someone says, what religion are you? I would say it was, you know, I grew up Catholic, but I am spiritual.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, me too. I love the history, I guess the art behind, you know, Catholicism. But like I said, I identify myself as more of a spiritualist.
Right. So we had talked about, too, lucid dreaming.
Right.
As a form of spirituality. And when you and I first talked, you said, I said, now, how is lucid dreaming really part of spirituality? So I had to question that piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely is because when I sat there and I actually took time to think about it, you know, lucid dreaming in itself for the listeners is a form of spirituality where just the word lucid in itself
mm-hmm.
means clarity. And it's
sure.
a state of consciousness that is, it just feels, the dream feels so real. It's a reality type of dream
mm-hmm.
where there's no doubt in your mind that it's not happening at that present time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a form of enlightenment and a sign of achieving spiritual growth. In fact, it can fall under definitely, you know, it's prophetic in nature, at, you know,
mm-hmm.
at times. And so just to share just a couple, I'm just going to share just a couple, but just to, again, let the callers or listeners, you know, kind of get an example. But so I was supposed to go on a boat trip just for the day. And it was like a 2-hour drive to get to the boat. It was a big sailboat crew on this beautiful sailboat. And
mm-hmm.
I was the night before I had this lucid dream that I had this hole in my face. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like I woke up, honestly, I woke up so distraught, and I, you know, I was crying, and I was just so distraught. I was sweating. It was like there was a not just an emotional response, but a serious physical one as well. And so I leap out of bed as soon as I wake up because I'm so convinced that there's like a burn hole in my face. Like my face was burnt.
Wow.
So I leap up and I look in the mirror, and there's no burn mark on my face. But
mm-hmm.
it took me a few minutes, honestly, to calm down from that dream, mm-hmm. that experience. And in fact, it took a while. So anyway, I'm now, you know, just about ready to leave, and I get a call from a person who had invited me on this sailboat, and he said, we have to cancel. And I said, why? And he said, because one of the crew members lifted, I don't know, something up, and he, there was an explosion, and he burnt his face.
Wow.
And I thought, how in the world am I going to explain what I just experienced to someone
mm-hmm.
that was not open to
sure.
that type of experience. So
sure.
I said nothing at that time, you know, because again, I didn't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't share with that person, but that's
mm-hmm.
a lucid dream. So he could have burnt anything. He could have burnt his foot, his hand, you know, his stomach, but it was his face, and that
yeah.
was my dream. So then there was another experience where my aunt I had seen her a few weeks before she had passed, and she had called me a few times after I had seen her, and I did not return the message. I did not call her back for whatever reason. And then she ended up passing shortly after that. And that really did
mm-hmm.
break me up. I mean, that broke my heart. I just
mm-hmm.
was so upset. I was just so, like, thinking, why didn't I call her back? You know, because you never know what tomorrow's going to
yeah.
bring. And I was so sad and just so distraught. And so the dream that I had was so clear. Like, I saw her. She was all in white. She was standing next to a white van. She had her arms extended. This is shortly after she passed. And just, you know, I went up, like, gave her a hug, and she told me everything was fine, and she loves me. And that was so real, you know. And I know that was true. So loved ones do come to us. But that was interesting, but here's one that was a big one. So I was in Virginia at the time where my son was going to college, and we
mm-hmm.
were sitting there in like a, you know, an Applebee's or something. And the night before, I was explaining this dream that I had the night before. It was these seven little boys, and they all had white hair, not blonde, but I mean albino white hair. And they were all ranging from like 3 to one of the cadets was in his class. So, 16, 17, something like that. And but in the dream, these seven little boys, they were so cute, but the hair was like so white. So, but they were all very cute. But as soon as they all smiled, they had crooked teeth. And so
mm-hmm.
crooked teeth is a sign for me that something's not in alignment. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what I am, so again, I this dream, I woke up thinking, holy cow, like, what was that? Right. So we're sitting in Applebee's. I'm actually telling my son about this dream I had the night before, and in comes walking these seven little boys with the albino hair, all
mm-hmm.
very well mannered. They were with their mother. They sat down almost like very
regimented,
yeah. And they sat with their mother, and they were engaging with the mother. She was engaged with them, and they were happy. But again, it's like it was almost too regimented. That was a good word.
Sure.
So the next thing you know, the father comes walking in. And all of a sudden, the energy changed. They changed. Their facial expressions changed. So somehow something was going on with that father. You know, I don't know what, but it was not the intuitive feeling that I had gotten was that it wasn't good. And again, that sign, you know, with the crooked teeth. But that was a lucid dream because I just dreamt that. Yeah. Right.
Wow.
So
interesting.
So if any callers have experiences, we would love to hear.
Yeah, by all means. Call in. I'd love to hear some more stories on that. My experience is more kind of with astral travel versus lucid dreaming. You know, lucid dreaming can be, some people are, like yourself, are more adept at it, but you know, for me, it's a process. But astral travel is a little bit more easier. There's a couple good techniques to get there. But yeah, so so basically, how do we kind of tie in science with nature, with spirituality? You know, science, you know, is compatible with spirituality. You know, it is a profound source of spirituality in nature. You know, we see it like in the Fibonacci sequence in plants and, you know, the parts of a pineapple. You know, it's all related. Like you said, you're talking about being in nature. You know, everything is related, and there's a correlation between these things. You know, and now we're seeing more and more science coming together with spirituality. You agree?
Right. There's a bridge, right?
There's a bridge. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're right that science is just, you know, if you think about just science, like physics, for instance, right, just it's systematic, it's a methodology just based on evidence, right? So if you can't hear, see, feel, whatever, like it doesn't exist to people. Whereas spirituality is, you know, it's almost like the opposite, right? You don't have to, you know, have, you know, it's evidence, it's clear evidence. You know, but for those who don't have these experiences, it's hard, you know, when they're based in just science, right? So that would be the physics part. And then I feel that the bridging the gap with the spirituality, that would be more the quantum physics.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
Sure. Quantum physics. Yeah. Morphic resonance.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right. So kind of like the study of energy, which would be the science and matter.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's a bridge that definitely needs to be crossed at this point. I feel like more people are getting on that bandwagon, but this topic isn't being spoken about very much. So,
well, you know, with science, you know, you have to be able to measure. It has to be a systemic study, you know, and you know, you have to come up with a conclusion. And sometimes you can't find that always in spirituality.
Right.
You know, it's a form of measurement. I think I mentioned to you about the skull experiments. These were done back, I think, in the late 60s, paranormal. And a group of from a university, they went there and they measured all these paranormal experiences, tables moving. But it was done, you know, very, very kind of a, you know, a sterile environment, very, very academia, you know, when they measured these things. And it was very, very legitimate. You know, they couldn't disprove what was happening around them. You know, it was pretty amazing.
Right.
You can find the skull experiments. There've been books written about it, SCOLE.
Right.
But
well,
since then, you know, there's. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Well, I was just thinking about the first thing that popped in my head while you were saying that was like near death experiences. I mean, there's so many of them, you know, who have come back with the same experiences. You can't. Even the naysayers would be hard pressed, I think, to just say there's nothing there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're all lying.
Yeah.
You know, and
well,
and again,
a lot of the scientists and the naysayers, you know, they've had experiences, but either for some reason, you know, because of their job or whatever, you know, they can't really come forward at that time. You know.
Right. Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. And then later.
Prime example was the. In Phoenix, the Phoenix Lights, when the big ship was over Phoenix, and everybody said, "Oh, I saw this." And there was a dentist who said he looked out his window on his car. On the left, he could see lights, and in the passenger, he can look up and still see lights. That's how big this ship was. And the mayor came out and they did a little thing, and they kind of made a joke about it. But ultimately, the mayor, you know, he said it was, you know, they did that because he was kind of pressured to. But there was definitely something there, you know. For the media, they kind of had to play it off.
Right.
So,
So, and then that brings us into so many different topics as far as the universe and ETs, and there's so much to talk
I'm
about.
I'm excited. There's so many topics I want to just jump into. But, you know,
just
we're just kind of getting rolling here.
Right. So are you ready to bring on
speaker? Let's bring on James Carr. Absolutely. I have him on hold. I'm going to bring him up, and then you could go ahead and introduce him, and then we'll get into his good topics, okay?
Okay. So, again, this is James Carr. He's a loner in Wilmington, Delaware.
James?
I'm here.
Hi, James. I'm Tom.
I will let him explain it then.
Okay.
I'm having trouble hearing him, though.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Is that better? Okay, great. All right. Hi, James. Thanks for coming on the show. I understand that you're a conceptual artist. Oops.
Along with several other things, but yeah, I do a lot of art. I paint oil painting. When I say conceptual, it only means that, I mean, most of my paintings have a message. They have something more than just an image. I mean, I love great artwork, and I can't do totally realistic work. And I'm very, very impressed by people that can. I can do work that is very engaging, and in a certain way, it's even maybe more representative of the person, because what I'm always trying to do is find something inside of whoever it is that I may be painting. If it is a person, usually it is. I mainly do figurative work. But, for example, I'm looking at a painting right now. It's called Joan of Arc Before the Reckoning. I actually posted this on Facebook the week that the cathedral was on fire a couple of years ago, just, you know, to give some kind of empathy to the French people that were losing Notre Dame, which is, you know, a cathedral that has, you know, what, 1,000 years of history behind it or something. But anyway, so when I do it, you know, I'm going to be using symbolic aspects. Like, I have poppies at the foot of the painting, and they kind of look like flames. You know, and her arms, she kind of looks like they may have had, you know, shackles on them. So even though I'm always trying to get a good representation, I'm also trying to get something that's a lot more, that says something more. And one of the things I was thinking about tonight before I came on was, the thing about art is we always use the term inspiration. Now, I also have degrees in English as well. My field has been advertising and marketing, and I was always actually the one that came up with headlines, came up with the copy. Mm-hmm. I was basically a copywriter, and I always had designers working with me, which is kind of doesn't make sense. It's counterintuitive, but that's just, I never really wanted to sit in front of the computer and do my art. I always wanted a canvas. But anyway, the basic etymology of the word inspiration is spirit. And see, that's what I think we've lost. We lost that in the 20th century. In the 20th century, work began to be based on mind rather than spirit in a lot of ways. And again, I love abstract art, avant-garde or work, but still the basis of art is more, I still think, is more coming from the spirit. Now, again, you can look in the Renaissance, and you can look at Leonardo da Vinci, and you can look at Michelangelo, and they are just, I mean, we don't have anyone that could even come close to them as far as their abilities. So they merged the mind with the spirit. And as I say, it just seemed like, to me, in the 20th century, we were all about mind, and I'm sure that was because science was becoming more and more paramount. compared to, say, I mean, at least in the elite world, religion was still very strong in the Western world, but it was fading compared to science. And so art then kind of reflected that. It was becoming more geometric. It was becoming more mind rather than spirit. Well, I mean, I don't know. What do you think about that, Kathy?
I think that what you're saying makes sense. I think that you're very intelligent and you have many experiences that can be shared, and you yourself are really the only one who has that experience, you know, with your art and how you look at it, how it comes to you, you know, how it's channeled to you. I think it's all very interesting. You had talked about channeling before in your art. You had you had talked about the solar angel guidance. I'm actually interested to hear about that piece.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that something you want to talk about?
Absolutely. along with painting, and I always do oil painting, I mean, I've been on a spiritual path for almost my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we did go to church when I was young, but, you know, and I appreciated religion greatly, but like Tommy was saying, I was moving much more towards spirituality rather than
right.
the religiosity, let's say. And I have found that there's been times when I've been doing paintings, people ask me, okay, do you start off, do you do a drawing and then, you know, follow that up with the actual painting? I never do that. I mean, I just look, I have an idea. I know that I'm going to, well, in many cases, I'm going to paint this person, either usually from a photograph. But I don't know exactly how I'm going to do it. I don't know how the background is going to be. I don't know what kind of clothes I'm going to put on the model. And that, a lot of that comes from, it comes from channeling. And I always say, even if I'm getting, I always know the models, I always know the people, even if they're sending me a photograph. And somehow or another, we just get on this beam, and I can feel their vibes, and they can feel mine, and I end up channeling it. And again, unlike an artist who does pure portraiture, which I wish I did, because I make 20,000-30,000 a painting, but anyway, you know, it ends up being something that I'm picking up their energy and it's coming through, and then the painting is just a manifestation of whatever energy is working. I always say this one, and you know, I know people would, you know, wonder if I don't care what really people think in terms of some things. I did a painting one time, and I think like almost every artist, they end up wanting to do Marilyn Monroe. She's just an icon. She was just something so far beyond just the normal level of an actress or a celebrity or whatever she was. She just was amazing. And it's a lot of the reason why almost every, so many artists want to do a version of her. So I did. And I just literally did that painting in an hour and a half, 2 hours. And I think most people would look at that painting and say, that must have taken you 7-8 hours. But it didn't, because an energy was coming through to me.
Sure.
Right.
Maybe we can post your picture later. I'd love to see some of his work.
Right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, I would have to say that that particular painting was a little more, I mean, I didn't fill it in like a larger painting might be, but do you mind if I continue a little bit here and play
a little bit more?
Okay, there's a term in Greek called apotheosis. And somewhere very, very few people ever know. But what apotheosis means is rising to godlike status, rising to be a god or a goddess, a divinity of some kind. And back in the Roman era and in the Greek era, great, great personages, whether they were Caesar or whoever they were, people that they had a different concept about fame. We think fame is, you know, a lot of people really want it. I mean, they love that idea of being recognized for something special, hopefully for something that is beneficial or good for things. But in the Roman era, particularly, when they talked about fame, they would talk about, usually it was a Caesar or one of the great generals. And sure enough, as the empire progressed, in each case, pardon me, they would think that the emperor rose to divinity. And they had a whole level of, you know, they would have different temples for most of the great Caesars. And so I contend that in a world where there are countless dimensions, and we can go into quantum physics. I love quantum physics. When you're talking about
Me too.
That bridge between science and art, quantum physics is exactly where that is. And in a world of infinite universes or infinite dimensions, I think that that spirit does go somewhere. And someone like a Marilyn Monroe, who was gifted with this great spirit, she was a great actress, along with just a fascinating person, you know, rose to some level of divinity somewhere. Now, that doesn't coincide with, you know, our standard religious beliefs, and I am Christian. And so, you know, I'm only saying this that these are experiences that I have had, and I've studied a lot, and I've thought a lot, and I've had countless, you know, lucid dreams and synchronicities. And, you know, I've always thought synchronicity is, as some people have called it, it's kind of a blink from the universe when it blinks at you and it just says, who are these people that think this, that a sunset is just made up of rays coming through the atmosphere? What, are you kidding me? You look at a sunset, and it's divine.
Right.
Its beauty can never be matched. I mean, no, I don't care who the artist is. No artist is going to match an amazing sunset or amazing sunrise.
Right.
And so,
but I'm sorry to interrupt, but I feel like art is such a personal representation of, you know, what the artist sees. And so, you know, again, it's spiritual in nature because it is so individual and it is so personalized. You know, some people, like you're saying, you know, everyone should be able to look at a sunset and say, oh, how beautiful and wonderful and spiritual that is. But some may not. So those, you know, that's unfortunate, right? Because we always want to see the beauty in everything.
Or some of us can't put it on paper. Right.
Or some of us can't put it on paper. That's right. But we did. We always, you know, I always want to see the good in things. I appreciate beauty. I appreciate, you know, looking at pretty things. And, but again, you know, I feel like art is such an individual, just form to, you know, it's the creator
Express.
That sees, right? And others, of course, can see it too, but others can't. Especially, I guess, you know, abstract, I guess is what I'm trying to say work. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. So what about the Acoustic Realm?
Yeah, that's a...
Can you share with us about your experience with that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's something that's just kind of come to me in the last year or two. And again, it was synchronistic. Well, one part of that was synchronistic. From the Akashic Realm, I began to expand the energy level, and I happened to be reading this book, which I highly recommend. It's called The DIY Do-It-Yourself Akashic Wisdom. And I'm trying to read what the name of the authors are, Jackie Smith and Patty Shaw. And it's really, it's a great book. It's a lot of fun. They don't make it like, oh, you know, like, you know, it doesn't scare people off. And they're just really, really fun. They're sisters. And in reading it, they mentioned that by visiting the Akashic Realm, the Akashic Realm is the zone or the room, it's called the room usually, where all of your experiences in life are being recorded. And you can mm-hmm. imagine it being like, the old monks and they were in this, you know, in the cathedral, and they were sitting there copying everything that went down. And that's kind of the way that I've seen it many times. But, of course, mm-hmm. you know, it's infinitely more subtle and sophisticated than anything like that. But when you do go to your Akashic Realm, and there are ways that you will do a meditation, you'll learn to do an affirmation, and it's just like riding a bike. Once you do it the first time, you just go there. Mm-hmm. You can go there any time at all. Or like meditation. I mean, once you learn that meditation is just, you know, idea of nothing.
Yeah, yeah. People have a tendency, they kind of put mental blocks on themselves, so then they kind of limit themselves on what you can do, you know, from a meditation standpoint.
Yeah.
So like you're saying, you know, being able to access the Akashic records, you know, it's a process, you know. But, yeah, also the listener has to understand that it's not necessarily a physical place because, you know, as we know that there really is no time or space. You know, that's kind of what we have here on Earth. But outside of that,
well, exactly.
You know, it's endless. It's infinite, like you said.
Right.
Well, I was just going to, that was going to lead into speaking about the solar spirit and solar angel. I was reading mm-hmm. this book, and one of the authors mentioned about how visiting the Akashic Realm, you know, would be able to enhance your abilities. I also read tarot. I mean, I usually have other people that would do my readings, but I'm so familiarized with it that I definitely can do tarot readings. But it usually with me, it's so personalized where it's so oriented to my kind of world that I don't do it usually for other people unless I know them really well and really can relate to their energy. But one of the things they said was you would be able to pick up a lot more with your tarot by visiting, let's say, and getting to know the Akashic area, room, records. And sure enough, that's what happened. And I, as I began to do my tarot cards, immediately the lover's card came up, which is the six. In the the first group. And ever since then, that was about 7-8 months ago. I was going through kind of an emotional time, a lot of challenges at that time, and it was just amazing. It was just absolutely amazing. I began to meditate on that card, that being in the Rider set, the ones that most people are familiar with. And it's an absolutely beautiful card. I don't know if you can picture it, but it's also associated with the solar angel, which is Raphael. And so every time I literally will do the, you know, shuffle the cards up and do it, you know, every 3 or 4 days. And okay, so how's it going to be in the next few days? And how's this situation going to work out? And just little things like that. But the tarot can speak to you on minor issues and great issues. And every single time, without any possibility of it being by chance or by happenstance, the card would come up every single time.
What does that mean? When it comes up like that all the time? What does it mean when it comes up like that all the time?
I told you that I was having issues that were associated with, you know, a relationship. And so the card came up to give me guidance and to give me some closure and some idea and some make me feel like, you know, I was not only that, I was definitely getting clairaudience through the card. I mean, I was getting hearing messages through it, and I still do. And, you know, I don't know exactly why it comes in. I just know that it's the divine that's bringing it to me. And I feel like I went to a different level. I lost that energy that was holding me down and keeping me back, and, you know, and progressed towards a much more beneficial and enlightened situation.
Great.
You know, that's just, and at this point, you know, I grew up in a Protestant religion. I grew up in Presbyterian religion, and that idea of angels and of intermediaries wasn't as emphasized. You were always kind of taught that you can have the, or it was impressed upon you, you don't need all that. You have a relationship with Jesus, with God. And it doesn't mean that they don't, they have a belief in the angels, but it isn't emphasized nearly as much as the personal connection with Jesus. So I wasn't all that familiar with it. And all of a sudden, you know, here I am having the experience of the angel Raphael, and I just consider it a great gift. And, you know, I don't know what else much more to say other than I could wish anybody hope that people, I just wish people would get away from doubt. What was that? I heard something today. I read it. I think it was on Facebook or somewhere. And it was something like, you can believe in fear or you can believe in faith. Neither one can you see, but I choose to believe in faith. And
yeah.
What's that?
You know,
I think we have a caller here that wants to ask a question. Let me put this caller through real quick.
Sure.
Hello, caller.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Good, how are you?
What is your name?
What's your name?
Rose Maria.
Hi, Rose Maria. How are you? Thanks for calling in. What can we do for you?
Whatever you guys pick up that's coming in from job-wise or getting kind of annoyed with it and giving up on doing anything about it. So if anything's coming up for the better, job-wise, moving or whatever.
I'm sorry, you're asking a question about if you thought that maybe something was coming your way in terms of job?
Yeah, job-wise, moving, because I just lost one that I really wanted. So
yeah.
I don't know what to think
anymore. I'm sorry to hear that. It's a tough time. Yeah, I'm not picking up on anything right now. My energy was just kind of directed into what we were our topic at hand here. Are you a regular... Do you regularly go on the webpage, the Sacred Embers Network?
Not really. Not regularly. What's the topic?
I'm just saying, just so I can, if you want to send me an email, I could reach back with you on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
TomKelso22@gmail.com. Okay.
Okay. Cool.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thanks, you too.
Take care.
Right.
Bye. Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, you're okay. There? My apologies. Sorry, she, I don't know, for me, it's kind of like, I'm kind of focused in this other topic here, and I want to be able to give her some attention.
Sure.
Regarding her situation, you know, at another time, so.
Right. What about the synchronicity part?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, synchronicity. I was curious myself.
The topic that you were going to speak about, synchronicity, because that's an interesting topic as well.
Yeah, I mean, and that's even what I was talking about with the card, the lover's card. That's what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's an advanced idea way. Synchronicity, basically, in many ways, I believe, is sort of introductory to spirituality. It begins to tell you that, well, wait a minute, this can't be coincidence. How could this happen? You know, little things like, you know, seeing a cardinal when the cardinal is usually a bird of caring and affection and that sort of thing. And so you happen to see it when you haven't seen one for a long time. I mean, that may not be the best example. There's so many others. I mean, you might be, well, just like I say, I was picking up this book and I'm reading the book, and all of a sudden, synchronistically, I see this note about, you know, using the Akashic room to, you know, to better your understanding of spirituality and enlightenment, and then that took me to the Solar Angel. And which is the being that's on that card in the background. But when I started with synchronicity, it was in college, and we were a group of people. We were all into thinking about philosophy and spirituality, and we'd have these head sessions, and I began to go to the bookstore or the library, and I just kind of like be looking at a row of books, and some reason one book would kind of call out to me. I'd pull it out and I'd open the book, and many, many times I would read something that related immediately to what we had just been discussing, or what was in my mind, or what was troubling me, or what I was looking to find out some meaning for. And actually, some of the some of the faiths do that, particularly the more fundamentalist faiths, Christian faiths would do that. They would, you know, they would open the Bible and they would expect grace of the divine to lead them to read that certain part of the Bible. So so that's, you know, that's what synchronicity again to me, I think it's kind of usually it's something that people just they first experience the idea that no, not everything is linear, not everything is logical, not everything is coincidental. In fact, when it happens again and again and again, you then say, it's impossible that that can be coincidental. It can't be coincidental.
More than chance is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, it's so many times far more than chance that, you know, that even the most, well, no, I won't say that. I know skeptics that would never accept it as anything but chance. And all I can say is,
how do you see it as? See, I see synchronicity as, you know, our guides or something telling us something that, you know, you need to pay attention to a situation or be on the lookout. What's your interpretation of synchronization for you?
Is that for me or?
Yeah, I'm sorry. For you. Yes, James.
Yeah, well, that's what I see it as being, definitely. Again, it's only lately that I felt like there was a distinctive angel guide, and that's only been mm-hmm. in the last year, really. Mm-hmm. Before that, I just saw it as more, I didn't know what it was. Was there a guide? It wasn't being brought mm-hmm. to me in any personal sense. Absolutely, mm-hmm. I saw the divinity and everything. And so maybe
he didn't knock on your door and say, "I'm your guide," but he was. But definitely, you were aware.
Definitely not. But
sure,
I feel like
sure.
I was, you know, given this gift at this point, and
mm-hmm.
You know.
Sure.
So.
I agree. Well, I have another caller on. Let's see what they have to say about synchronicity here. Let's see.
Hello.
Hello, caller. Did you have a question about synchronicity or?
Yeah. I'm like, how does it work and all that happy stuff? Because I'm like, I think I'm going through it now, so.
Mhm.
So I'm like, I don't know. If
James,
like,
did you want to explain? Uh-huh. How synchronicity works?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying? Are you having some experiences?
Yes.
Are you seeing, for example, you know, numbers that are consistent or?
Yeah, mm-hmm. numbers or somebody that mm-hmm. friends with for a long time. I see what they drive that's around me or a car I know mm-hmm. that they were driving at the time I was there. So stuff like that and. Kind of weird.
Yeah.
And too many stuff happened right after my mom died, so kind of weird.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I don't know what kind of messages they're trying to say, so.
Do you have anything for her, James?
So,
or Kathy, I'm sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that definitely is. I think, too, yeah, particularly when it's involving a loved one that's passed on, you'll definitely get synchronicity going because they are trying to reach out to you. They are trying to let you know something that they're there and they are. They passed on, but they haven't passed away. And, yeah, absolutely. I remember one time I had a situation where a niece of mine of my wife, my ex-wife, had a terrible accident. It was really horrible. She was killed on the Walt Whitman Bridge in a direct accident early one morning. And she was only about 17 or 18, and it was just so heartbreaking to our family. Just totally, totally heartrending. And it happened to be that we kind of had an energy with her. I mean, nothing, I mean, it wasn't like great energy, but we were relating and I just saw her as a really good soul. And sure enough, the next day or 2 days later, I bought a paper, a newspaper spread of the Inquirer, and I opened up the obituaries. And there was the obituary for her. And sure enough, there was an ink spot that was right in the middle of it, and it was just like a teardrop. And I absolutely knew that, and I could always, if I wanted to, feel her energy or spirit, I could at any time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it happens. It definitely happens a lot.
I'm going to jump in here for a second, if you don't mind. So I think this is for the caller. So I think that my experiences to maybe help is sometimes when I'm thinking about something or some situation that sometimes I'm not actually, understanding what's going on. Sometimes it's challenging. And I will see sequences of numbers. So that is usually my go-to for, telling me that I'm on the right track or I'm not. It's a validation actually for me. Many, many, many times I see 444, and it's at the exact moment almost that I'm thinking about, someone or some situation, like I said, that, there's some sort of uncertainty there. And then all of a sudden, I see these numbers and okay, so this is just, something that maybe, silly, but I had lost a watch. Okay. It was a very nice watch. I hadn't seen it honestly in several years. And anyway, for whatever reason, I just decided like I want to put a claim in for it. Right. After all these years. So it was shortly after that I was, I can't tell you how many sequences of 444s and 777s that I had. And I'm like, why am I seeing this? Something is going on beyond my understanding. Something's happening. It's good. I knew that. And or the angels were telling me, I'm here with you for whatever's coming, right? But I knew something was happening. And that day, I found my watch.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah.
We saw that with go ahead, I'm sorry.
It also happened with a set of keys to my car. It also had, I remember being in a relationship one time where I was questioning, should I stay in this relationship or not? And I see images in clouds. And so they are guidance for me. And so I looked up in the clouds and I took a picture just looking at the clouds. I knew something was, there. I just didn't really know until I actually had, taken the picture and blown it up. And there was literally a picture of a boot, like boot him out. So then I'm walking through the park. Then I'm walking through the parking lot, right? This is like the next day. And I see a little, a little Barbie doll pink boot. So it was just a synchronistic event that relationship ended. But that was a synchronicity, Very and I think there was a third that I can't remember, but, with that particular thing. But it And I would ask for signs too, you know, and I would ask for signs,
yeah.
Like, give me a sign, you know, am I right or am I wrong? And I would get them. Not all the times I listen to them, but that, you know.
You know, after 9/11, the spirit realm, they, you know, the people that, there were so many people that left, they taught them how to drop dimes. So you can, they were dropping dimes on their families, essentially. So that's another synchronicity, you know, it was in mass.
Oh.
So.
Well,
I have a couple
of
callers here. I probably need to move on here. So, caller, thanks for your time. I'm just going to put you on hold. You can still listen. And I need to take another call here. Okay? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, what was your name?
Hello. Hi, my name is Carrie.
Hi,
I'm
Carrie. How are you?
Carrie.
Do you have a something you want to say about these topics, Akashic Records or synchronization? Or?
Well, no, I mean, I just raised my hand because I've been enjoying your show. I was listening to it just on the computer, and then I decided to dial in. But I'm very
glad you did.
Intrigued by the Akashic Records, and I've heard of them, you know, through different modalities and through different people that I've associated or connected with. I'm sort of on my own spiritual awakening of sorts. So, no, I don't really have much to add personally, but I just wanted to add my input. You know,
well, I think you did. That's always good to hear someone
sort of
learn
more,
on that path.
You know, how to connect with them.
May I ask a question?
Have you had any experiences?
I've had a lot of transformative experiences the past few years. A lot of loss, a lot of just reflection. Hello. It's okay. Hello?
So go.
Yeah, that's
it. How do you share?
What I wanted to ask her is, I mean, have you been able to access the Akashic Records, the room?
I'm not sure, not personally, but I've come to realize a lot of karmic connections that may have been in my life, just through some real hard lessons, I guess you could say, and then, you know, I've sort of delved into that a little bit, but I found your topics very intriguing this evening.
Well, yeah. I mean,
thank
you.
I'm glad you called in.
Definitely can. I mean, it's just like I said. It's just like once you do an affirmation for it, and I reckon there's books on it, like this one is called DIY, Do It Yourself Akashic Wisdom. It's kind of fun. It's very engaging, and it doesn't give you any heavy vibe to it, but it'll give you an affirmation that you would. Then do your prayer, and you'll find that, you know, without any effort whatsoever, your spirit will suddenly be in a place that you say, oh, wait a minute, what's going on here? And there will be a spirit guide. And that guide, maybe somebody that you know, maybe someone's grandfather or someone that has kind of had a wisdom to them will probably be the one. You will see, you can visualize, and it's a good thing to do, you visualize that maybe there's a door, and you don't, it's your room. You don't have to say, may I come in? You just kind of put your hand up and open the door, and you walk, and there will be a spirit guide. Yeah. And you'll begin to see your karmic connections, too.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they're kind of feeling like edgy, and they don't, you know, hey, what's she doing here? You know, but it's your room. It's your room. And so you might want to say, I'd really like to talk with you. Maybe we had a misunderstanding, or we had, you know, maybe I misunderstood you, but let's get our karma straightened out here. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's for. So don't feel like you haven't done it. You probably have done it. You weren't even sure that you did it. But again, I recommend getting any book. That's just one. And, you know, anyone can do it. And then once you do it, it's something that you'll want to go back to and work on your further enlightenment and your raising of your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It helps. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I appreciate that. I've done some disentangling almost. So I've been connected with an energy that did not serve my highest purpose and still lingering. And no matter how many times I've tried to, you know, sort of correct that or get some closure from it, some, you know, just aren't able to provide that. So I find that I have to find that for myself. I think I realize that. Yeah.
This tingling you get through meditation, or you just get it just an energy visiting, or?
I was in the wrong energy atmosphere with the wrong person, non-compatible, and just a lot of karmic. I mean, and I sold, you know, my all my ancestors are deceased, my grandparents, and my father is as well. I sold a family property that I owned with that person that he came in to purchase, you know, and our relationship wasn't going anywhere. It was just very toxic, you know, for lack of a better word. But, you know, there's, some people are sort of chameleons where they can kind of play, you know, he'll play on those emotions. So he'll play to my spirituality, but he's really not of that light, you know? And so disentangling or cutting our cords rather, I think that's the best way to say it.
Sure.
Cutting those, you know, spiritual connections because I've now moved
to
another place. Yeah. So now I'm just trying to find my grounding, my ground zero, if you will, and move forward. But, you know, they're still lingering.
Great.
There's another thing that can be done, and that's, again, depending upon how much you would want to improve or repair or just let it go. I mean, one or the other. But, you know, one thing you could do is ask to speak to their higher self. And when you do that, you're talking to someone that's, you're not talking to a personality then. You're talking to a spirit then. And all of a sudden you'll find that, now I kind of understand why it wasn't working, because maybe I had something edge on this. And, you know, let's speak on that level and not on this level of straight personality. Again,
humanness.
It's your choice to do. I mean, you always have the free will to do it. I've had situations where, you know, I really, really didn't get along with somebody. I just, you know, and maybe it was a work situation. Who knows what? But I wanted to somehow find out what's with this guy. You know, what's going on? Why are you controlling me? Why are you giving me, you know, energy that I don't want to have to deal with? And happen to be a boss along the way, some kind of boss. And, you know, I was recommended by someone that I speak with a lot on spiritual matters to speak with his higher self. Turned out to be not so easy because he really wasn't into his higher self at all.
Exactly.
So at that point, I just said, you know, I'm not, this isn't really worth it. But usually it's in a personal sense. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. We see that in marriage too. You know, when two people get together, energetically, they're at the same level. And then little by little, they kind of go in different ways energetically. And, you know, if you're at a complete polar opposite, there's no way that marriage can stay together, you know.
Oh, right. Yeah, absolutely. Right. And then he's not allowing the severing of ties completely to be severed, which, you know, like just trivial things, you know, health insurance, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, for me, I just need complete separation because he's definitely not in the light. I mean, he's done some things, and not just to me personally, but it's just not my story to tell or to try to rebuke. You know what I mean? It's just not good. And I don't want that association, but it's sort of like, let's cut the cords.
I'm not sure what your faith is or if you believe in the mighty archangels.
Mm-hmm.
You do? Do you?
I do.
Do you believe in the
I was raised Catholic, but you know, I'm very spiritual. I do. I speak to them quite often. You know, definitely Archangel Michael for grounding. Yeah.
Protection. So there is something that you could do. You can just call forth the mighty Archangel Michael to protect you. You just say something like, you know, I call forth the mighty Archangel Michael to protect me from all evil aggression, parasism, mm-hmm. you know, he's, you know, when you do the four mighty archangels, Raphael, Michael, Gabriel, Uriel, he's from the mighty archangel is from the south. But I always say, you know, protect me from all evil aggression and parasism from the east, south, west, north, up, down, all about, just, you know, everywhere. Mm-hmm. But you can ask him to cut all cords of wickedness and, you know, all cords of attachment to the dark side, and to that person personally, please cut all cords to the negativity associated with that particular person now.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And I've been doing that. It's just a communication will come through, or it'll come up where we have to talk, and then mm-hmm. it just kind of goes into a spiral mm-hmm. where he's then turning it on me and saying, you know, see, look at you're harassing me. You know, it's just a lot of narcissistic behavior, which I don't like to label things, but it's just not me. And then I don't feel as though
yeah.
I'm left feeling even more drained than I was, you know, I'm feeling. So that makes mm-hmm. sense. But yeah, it'll kind of spin you. And I'm like, I just want to get off this merry-go-round.
Sure. A lot of grounding exercises yeah. and, you know, cutting that energy
yeah.
cord there for sure.
A lot of times
absolutely.
You're in a situation and you're beginning, you're rising in the path of enlightenment and spirituality, and another person, a very close person to you, just doesn't want to take that path. That's when you have to,
right.
you're not benefiting your soul in that way.
Right. It's a hard reality. Yeah.
It's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Something that you learn. So I'm glad I found your show tonight.
Well, we hope you keep listening. We have many different topics on, and you know, in the future, we're going to hit many, many different avenues. And you know, please call in any time and contribute or ask questions or you know, whatever's on your mind or however you feel.
Absolutely, love you all.
So, all right, I'm going to put you on hold here, and then we're going to move
all
on.
Right.
Thanks for calling in. Have a good night.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. James, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello?
I wanted to mention
one
quick thing about synchronicity, too.
Mm-hmm.
C.G. Jung, you know,
mm-hmm.
great psychologist, one of the founders of psychology, although it really was more spirituality than psychology, but he was the one that really spoke about synchronicity and,
mm-hmm.
you know, made it like kind of more acceptable in the intellectual world because no less than C.G. Jung wrote books on it. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, but I know what you mean with the numbers too, Kathy. I was, I've had that situation, not as much as you have, but yeah, often times, you know, there's just numbers that come to me, and of course, a lot of people experience the 9/11 situation. You know, they would look at their clock and it would be 9/11. And so energy does do that, and it also comes through electronics. You know, I had situations with synchronicity
mm-hmm.
where, again, this is more longer time ago, like when I was maybe in college or just after. And sometimes ghosts will come through electronics too. You know, I could tell you a story about that at the most haunted tavern in America, which happens to be outside of Philadelphia. And I was in there one night. I was talking to this guy, and I looked up at the TV, and suddenly the whole picture just went upside down, and I'm there like, what?
Wow.
So then the picture came back, and I said to the bartender, I said, did I just see that? He said, oh, yeah, it happens all the time. So
right.
The chairs move, and he comes in, and, you know, the furniture is rearranged. And so a lot of these old taverns and restaurants,
yeah.
particularly.
I always wanted to go to Philadelphia. I know there's some amazing houses that are from the 1600s. You know, I mean, just the energy in those places is palpable, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, ghosts are, I mean, they tend to play. You get a lot of that in the Philadelphia area, particularly in the Revolutionary area. For example, there's a Chester Springs, which is an area near where I grew up in Malvern. And there is a little village called Chester Springs, and there's an old tavern there, or hotel, I think, Chester Springs Hotel. And it goes back to like the 1730s or 40s, and they actually took some of the soldiers there that were wounded. And obviously some of them died, and definitely they tend to hang around there still.
Love to talk about that. So I think definitely we're going to have you back on some future episodes here. We're going to talk about spirits and that realm also. So we're running out of time here. Our on-air time is running out, so we're going to probably have to cut this short and then pick up again next week. So. But, you know, James, it's been a great pleasure, and we definitely look forward to having you on. Also, I'd like you to maybe send some pictures to Kathy so we can put up some of your artwork. I'd love to see your artwork.
Okay, sounds good. Definitely will.
But anyhow, I'm going to we're going to have to close here. It's clock's about up here. And
that's a great show.
Anything you want to add real quick? We got like 30 seconds.
No, I just want to thank everyone for listening, and I want to thank the callers for calling in, and just stay tuned because this show is going to come up with some very interesting topics
for sure.
That most people are not talking about.
Topics untouched,
stay
for sure.
Thank you again. I really appreciate it.
All right, well, thank you. You all have a good night. Take care.
Good night.
Bye-bye.